Well, good morning. It is 6:21 a.m. on Friday, March 31st, 2023, April Eve. It's 45 degrees, which is just over 7 degrees Celsius. 83% humidity. No big hair dude on the train. That's the B-line rolling by right now. Big hair dude doesn't ride the B-line, so no point looking. As I commence my stroll down 11th Street in the Pearl District of Portland, Oregon. Welcome to the Pearlcast, y'all. So last night, I had somebody offer me $20. And I told him, no ma'am, I have a story. And that's worth way more than $20. So I'm going to tell that story. Last night I saw John Wick 4. At the Living Room Theater with my buddy Kevin. And we had dined at Deschutes for the first time since I dined there with Muse like a year ago. God, they have good food at Deschutes. I gotta say, dang. It's a great brewery, highly recommended. Saw the movie, and afterwards, Kevin couldn't remember where he parked his car. So he wandered around downtown for, I'd say, a good 20 minutes or so. Eventually found his car, sent him on his way. And, of course, I walked, because I live downtown. I can do that. A little brisk, a little chill in the air, but it was fine. And I get almost home, and I'm walking past Jameson Square. And I see this woman in an electric wheelchair making her way in the other direction, heading south. And her chair is moving at like 1 mile an hour. It was just crawling, agonizingly slow, and I could hear the engine laboring and clicking. And I asked her, are you out of charge? And she said, yeah. I said, well, how about I push you to the end of the block, at least give you a little bit of distance on your journey home. She said that would be nice. So I did. And it's an electric wheelchair, so it's not like pushing somebody in a wheelchair. I'm fighting the resistance of the engine. Not a lot of resistance, but definitely resistance. And she wasn't a small woman, and it was a fairly substantial chair, but I was able to, you know, get her moving to at least a walking pace. And so got her down to the end of the block, and she started turning, and it's like, oh, I can get you to the other corner. And I asked her, where are you heading? And she said, 3rd Street. You know where the Chinese garden is? It's like, yeah, that's closer to 2nd Street, but yeah, okay. And I said, do you have anybody that can pick you up? Because I don't think you're going to make it. He says, no, I'm not going to make it. And it's like, well, let's go then. And so I started pushing her. And got to go, and her name is Connie. Of course, we're talking. I found out just how out of shape I am. I was good for maybe two blocks of pushing and then had to take a break. But her name was Connie, and she didn't have anybody to pick her up. It's like, okay, well, let's get you there. She was talking to somebody. Occasionally her phone would ring, and she was talking to somebody named Liam. And it's like, okay, so Liam is obviously somebody in her life. And she was letting him know how close he was. I figured, well, maybe he's a roommate or something. Pals! Maybe he can pick her up. Along the way, we're going. And she's got a bad cough. And she shares with me that she has colon cancer. And I asked, I'm sorry, that sucks. Are you in treatment? No. I'll just go in my sleep. It'll be fine. My God. Well, now I'm definitely pushing you all the way home. Feeling that resonance with Terry. So we get down there, and the area between Jameson Square and the Chinese Garden is, there's a lot of homeless people there. It's an area where the homeless people throw down their tents and settle down. So we're going through these little pockets of homeless folk. Some of them offering snide jokes about out of battery juice, blah, blah, blah. Most of them just ignoring us. And we get down to Chinese Garden, and she says, there's Liam. And she points to this white car. It's like, but I thought you didn't have anybody to pick you up. I'm thinking that. I didn't say that. So we get to her apartment building, and Liam pulls up and says, I'm going to pull in over here. And she says, okay, in a little parking garage area right next to her apartment building. And he gets out and he starts unloading bags of groceries. And I realize, oh no, Liam isn't her roommate or her caregiver. Liam is the Uber driver delivering her groceries. Three bags of groceries. Liam gets in his car and drives off. And, you know, she's got no juice in her chair. So it's like, okay, so let's get you at least inside. And so I got the three bags of groceries, and I'm backing, I put my back against her chair, and I'm backing the chair into the building. And it's like, so where's your apartment? It's on the second floor. It's like, how do you get there? It's like, well, security will help. It's like, okay, so I go to the security office. There's nobody there. Call around a little bit. Nope, nobody there. Okay, all right. So push you over to the elevator. Get the groceries in there, get her in there. We get up to the second floor. She's on the other side of the building from the elevator. It's like, my God, you go through this every day. You want to go outside. Wow. Finally get to her apartment. Her apartment is half the size of my studio in Chicago. It is barely, there's barely room for her chair in the middle of the room next to her bed and the walls of the place. And it's stacked floor to ceiling with stuff, life, my God. So, and she's got this sweet cat. This cat just jumps in, jumps up on her chair, starts rubbing up against me, purring like thunder. So of course give the cat some loving, because you gotta. And said goodbye. And then walked all the way back home again. And it just broke my heart. I mean, and this isn't bragging. It's just it's stunned. Where would she be if I hadn't come along? I mean, my God. Because there's no way. I mean, I don't know how she got around in the place. Morning.
Good morning.
How she got around the place without the wheelchair? She was not ambulatory. What time is it? It's probably around 6:30. I mean, clearly she did get around. But and the notion that she was just waiting. That's the thing that stabbed me in the heart. It's like she had no one to come collect her. She had nobody to call when she was in dire straits. She's got a place. I don't know how she pays for it. I'm assuming some sort of social services, welfare, something. She has a cat. That's companionship. But I never asked her why she was, what, 8-9 blocks away from her home without a charge on her wheelchair. And then walking home, walking back through the homeless communities. It was a thoughtful evening. And I've got no summary, no conclusion yet. I'm sure at some point my brain will wrap this up into some sort of narrative that resolves itself in some meaningful life lesson. But right now, I'm just sad for her. And there's nothing I can do. I'm not thinking I need to do anything. I'm not her caregiver. But it's like when I started pushing her, I kind of stepped into a relationship, and I couldn't walk away after two blocks and realizing there was no way she was getting home if I didn't push her. It just, that would have been wrong on every frickin' level. So, yeah, that's it. That's the story. And I'm back in Jameson Square. Alone. This time. Except for the crows. So, there. That's a Friday story for y'all. I hope you have a good Friday. I hope you're not just waiting. I hope you're doing. I hope you're going somewhere. It doesn't have to be CEO or Hugo award-winning whatever. It doesn't have to be anything but moving towards something. Yeah, that's all I got. Yeah. And then Brother Zig, with a ray of hope, despite everything, create. I don't know how Connie would respond to that advice, but I know how I will. And of course, you can do with it as you will. And I will tell you to love fearlessly. Because that does add to the world. Yeah. And I will do the same. And I will talk to you soon.